It always happens. Okay, it's this one I need to pull up. Thank you. There we go. Maybe that'll work. Oh, thank you, sweetie. Brother Gary left a message for the church. Actually, he was evidently listening to a sermon over the phone or either through Zoom or whatever. And so he was listening to the sermon. He was writing some notes regarding the sermon and then also writing some notes in regards to this church. And this is what it says. The Lord gave his Bible and our pastor to help us experience his word more clearly. The Holy Spirit is alive and well in our church. God provides for us. Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, but God stopped him. He provided a substitute for Isaac. Then God was going to sacrifice his son, but he didn't substitute. He went ahead and he allowed his son to take the sins of the world so we could have eternal life by believing in Jesus. Faith, hope, heaven. Thank you, Brother Brad, for your wisdom and for your love of our God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for our new deacons and deaconesses. They are truly your children, and I ask your blessings on them all. They go about their work in the church. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such servants for our church and for Pastor Brad and his wife, for their wisdom and love they share with us. So I thought you might be interested in hearing a word from Brother Gary. It was very encouraging to us as a church. And our second thing is, before we begin, today we're talking about God's presence. But I want to ask you a question regarding last week's message. We spoke about breaking things off, things that hinder us from continuing or from getting the full essence of what God has for us. And I know that many of you, probably a dozen of you, raised your hand and said, there's some things that are holding me back. And we prayed about those. And I was just going to ask you if you've experienced any more freedom this week than you had previous. Anyone experience it? Would you just raise your hand? Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. There may be some people on Zoom that have experienced the same thing. So I just want to encourage you. Continue. Ask the Lord, as you bring the Lord into whatever it is you're going through, you're going to experience more and more freedom in your life. So today we're going to be talking about God's presence. And this is the seventh plank in our building a bridge of unshakable faith. I was reading the other day how many people have left the Christian faith. People in the mainstream. There was a worship leader at Hillsong who left the faith. Other people, Joshua Harris, who was a writer, Paul Maxwell, others have jettisoned their faith for something else. And, and I wonder how that can happen. When I was a kid, I'm thinking about 5 or 6 years old, we had a bunch of cousins to come and stay with us. And we decided we would just wanted to sleep all together. And so we pushed two twin beds together. And I happened to be in the middle. Well, somehow during the night, those twin beds separated. And I woke up when I hit the floor. And I couldn't, and I didn't know where I was. And I remember reaching up, and there was no space up there. I remember reaching out and hitting the wall, and I began screaming and hollering because I was terrified. Of course, I woke everybody else up. They drug me out in front of the bed. And here's the deal. I fell out because I wasn't all the way in. Okay? I fell out because I wasn't all the way in. And I would say that these individuals who are jettisoning their faith have fallen out because they weren't in entirely. Okay? And so whenever you hear of people falling out, it's disturbing because you want them to go to the same place we're going. You want them to be in heaven with us. It's disturbing in that manner, but don't allow it to shake your faith. Do not allow it to shake your faith. Their faith was not unshakable. Their faith was shakable. So here's the thing. The government will come against Christianity. The culture will come against Christianity. The world will come against Christianity. Satan himself will come against Christianity. And you have to have a faith that will not be shaken. You have to have a faith where you know that you know that you know that you know that what you're holding on to is not going to give way. You have to know that. And I would encourage you, people, if you've not been in God's Word on a diligent basis, you better get in God's Word, because it's the Word of God and the faith of Jesus Christ that's going to hold you strong when these turbulent times come. If I could make you do it, I would. But you have to get in God's Word. You have to embrace God's Word. You have to get it in your soul. You have to get it in your spirit, because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And you must get it in your heart. You must get it in your heart. So many have said, here's what I'm saying. One of the things I'm saying, you don't have to fear what the people say or what the government may do. You just keep following the word, Lord. Keep following his word. Keep reading his word. Keep trusting him. It appears as if we are living in the last days. And my dad said that. And probably his dad said that. Okay? But I guarantee you this, we're closer now than my granddad was. Okay? And there may be times when difficult things come and you feel all alone. Elijah felt all alone. There was a time in his life when he thought he was the only believer around. And God assured him, Elijah, you're not alone. He despaired of life. He began questioning his calling. But I want you to say that, I want you to understand this, you're not alone. You are not alone unless you want to be alone. There are people around you who want to encourage you, and the Lord himself is with you. And I would also say this. It's not the same watching on Zoom as it is being in church. Scripture says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. And when we are gathered together to worship, to honor, to glorify, and minister to the Lord, He is here with us. I know if some of you may be still frightened regarding COVID-19, the coronavirus, I would say this: get your shot and come back to church. Okay? Get your shot and come back to church. Some of you have gotten used to staying at home and watching on Zoom. That is not the best thing to do. You're missing something that you're to receive from us and from the Holy Spirit by not being here. And we're missing something that the Lord has imparted to you that you need to give to us. Scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And you might say, well, I'm just not that important. Well, talk to the Lord about that and see what He says. See what He says about your importance of being in our midst. The Lord is present with you at all times. He's present with you when you're here at the church, but He's also present with you on a continual basis. We can't see Him because He's of spirit. If we had some, wouldn't it be nice to have some spiritual goggles? I'd love to have some spiritual goggles. I could put them on. And I could see what's going on in the spirit world. I don't have those spiritual goggles. But here's what Scripture, if you had those goggles and you could put them on, Scripture says that the Lord Himself in all His splendor, all His glory, all His might, all His majesty, the God of angels' armies is present with us today. Here He is. You could see Him. Wouldn't that be marvelous? Wouldn't that be marvelous to have those kind of goggles on and you could see Him? Take them off and everything gets back to normal. But we need to have some spiritual goggles in our heart so that we know that no matter where we are, what we're doing, God is with us. We can see Him. And when you leave today, He's going to be riding home in your car with you. When you get home, He's going to be preparing or there with you while you're preparing lunch, smelling the savor of your food. He's going to be with you at work. He's going to be with you at school. He's going to be with you wherever you go. He's there right beside you. God is present. God is present. Not many people have seen Him. Ezekiel saw Him. Scripture says that he saw the glory of the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Incredible. Moses saw the back of the Lord only. As he passed by, Moses was put in a cleft. Moses said, God, I just want to see you. I just want to see you. I just want to see you. And God said, I'll let you see me, but not my face. If you see my face, you're going to die. You're not ready to die yet. So I'm going to put you in a cleft of the rock, and I'm going to put my hand over the rock. But when I get past you, you can look at my back. Isn't that incredible? Wouldn't that be neat just to see the Lord's back? That would be incredible. John saw the glory of the Lord in the book of Revelation. You can read about it. Jesus appeared to Saul, who later became Paul, on the road to Damascus. Saul did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so he had a vendetta against Christians. And he was trying to annihilate the Christian world. Hey, but God showed up. Jesus showed up and met Paul on the road to Damascus, met Saul, I'm sorry, And then he later became Paul. He became a different character. He became a different person. The Lord doesn't do that for a lot of people. He doesn't just materialize in front of everyone. But Scripture tells us that those who believe without seeing are more blessed than those who have to see and believe. In John chapter 20, the disciples were gathered together after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this was on the evening of the Sunday after Jesus arose. They were gathered together and Jesus appeared before them. They were spellbound because they had heard the testimony of the ladies who had been to the grave and who Jesus had appeared before them. They had heard their testimony, and here comes Jesus. Appeared to them in the room. They were awestruck. But there was someone who was not there. His name was Thomas. And so when they saw Thomas, they said, "Thomas, guess what? We saw Jesus. He appeared to us. It was amazing." And Thomas says, "I'm not going to believe it." Yeah. That's what he said. He said, I'm not going to believe it unless I can put my finger where they place nails in him. Or if I can put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. Well, the next Sunday, the disciples were gathered together again, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus appeared. And then Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, touch me. Put your hand in my side. Blessed are those who do not have to see and believe." So there, you know, there in some way, we are more blessed than Paul. In some ways, we are more blessed than the disciples because they had to see to believe, and yet we don't have to see to believe. We believe by faith. We believe by faith. Missouri is called the Show Me State. And basically what their motto is, if you got to show me, you have to prove it to me before I will believe it. And there are a lot of people who are skeptical about God and about spiritual things. There's a lot of people who won't believe unless they see. Let me ask you a question. Can you see air? Do you believe in air? If you don't believe in air, let me hold your nose and mouth and you will become a believer. And Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is like that. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. The Holy Spirit is like air. As a matter of fact, Scripture teaches us that the same word for spirit in the Old Testament is the same word used for breath, air, and wind. Now, I want to just say this. Many have said that they've seen the Lord, and the Lord has given them information about the future, information about their life. And I would just caution you. Scripture says that even demons can change their appearance to an angel of light. So unless what you hear coincides with what's in here, then you better believe this over whatever angels may speak to you. Father is always present. Did you know that Father was present at your birth? We just sang a song. It's your breath in my lungs. It's your breath. Who do you think breathed into your mouth at your birth to give you the breath of life? Who gave you that holy kiss that allowed you to take that first breath? It was God. He was there. He was present at your birth. In Genesis chapter 2, Scripture says, "And the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." Now we look at that and we say, well, that was Adam. No, it was Adam. Yeah, it was Eve, but it's you as well. He breathed into your lungs the breath of life. He was present at your birth. He will also be present at your death. We don't like to talk about death much, but he's going to be present there. There are a lot of people who's afraid of death. But listen to what Psalm 23 says. Verses 1 through 4, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And then verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." A lot of people are afraid of death. They're afraid of what's on the other side. But David tells us that you don't have to be afraid of death because it's just a shadow. It's not really death for a Christian. It's not really death for a believer. You're just a shadow. It's just a passing. It's just a momentary darkness, perhaps. But there's no death. It's a shadow of death. And even in that, Father is with you. Even in that, Father is with you. You have nothing to fear in death. Someone received the impending death, the nurses. And so I was talking to them, and I said, this person said, "I'm not ready to die." I said, "Well, don't you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Don't you know that there's a heaven awaiting you on the other side?" And she said, "Yes, but I've never been there before." I'm wondering. You know, I've never been to Paris. Never been to Rome. Never been to Australia. I've never been to a lot of different places. But I've seen pictures of these different places. There are some places I would really like to visit because I like what I see in the pictures. And so the Lord has given us pictures in his word of what's to come. Now, I'm not dying to get to heaven. Well, maybe I am. Maybe. Yeah, I'm not yet anxious. Maybe that's a better way to say it. But when my time comes, bud, don't hold me back. Don't hold me back. I'm ready. When the Lord calls me home, I'm ready to go home. Not only is he present in your birth and at your death, but he's present when you go through trials and difficulties. Isaiah 43:1-3 says this. But now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So I want to stop here. Can you see that if I get out of the way? Can you see that okay? All right. So what I want you to do, I want you to change Jacob and Israel and put your name there. Okay, so let's just read it all together. Read it out loud. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Brad, and he who formed you, O Brad, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Woo! Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You need to hold on to that. You are mine. He goes on to say this. He says, when you, your name, pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, and you will not be scorched, nor will the fire burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Brad, your Savior. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So I want you to notice this. He never says you won't go through difficulties. That's not what this passage says. He doesn't say that there will not be times when you feel as if you're drowning in your circumstances with your problems. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that there will not be, you will not face problems that are larger than your ability to overcome them. He never says that. This is what he does say. When you go through these things, I will be with you. And whatever you're facing today, God is with you. Put on those goggles. Oh, there he is. I see him. There he is. I can go through it because he is with me. I can go through it because he is with me. Look at this passage of scripture in Isaiah 41:10. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Say that with me. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Say it like you mean it. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. So there's no need to be afraid. That will steal all your peace. That will steal all your faith. That will steal all your joy. He says, do not be afraid. I am with you. There's no need to be anxious, dismayed, distraught over the issue. If God is with you, what is there to be afraid of? What can you face if God is with you? When you are discouraged, when you're anxious, dismayed, very upset, bewildered, disappointed, annoyed at something, surprised or shocked about what has happened, God is with you. God is with you. He says, don't fear, grab my hand, and I will go through it with you. He said, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Grab my hand. Grab my hand. Grab my hand. I'll show you the way out. Just grab my hand. Oh, I can do it myself. I don't need you. I don't need anybody. I'm independent. I don't need God. How many times have I heard that? How many times have you heard that? I don't need God. I'm independent. I can do it my own way. And myself. It really doesn't work out that well. So, again, put on your spiritual goggles. When you go through these things, not if, but when, put on your spiritual goggles. Oh, there you are. I'm going to take you by the hand. You're going to lead me out. And scriptures teaches us that he is there when everyone else abandons you. Psalm 27:10, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. This is a very comforting passage. Everyone who's supposed to care for you and love you and support you may have abandoned you, rejected you, and disowned you. You may feel all alone, but the Father says he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. There may be some of you who feel rejected, like you're an outcast. You may feel lonely. You have been abandoned. Oftentimes when I've spoken to many people, when there's a divorce in the family, the child feels abandoned. The child feels lost. The child feels alone. There may be a lot of support around that person, but there's something the enemy does on the inside that causes them to feel rejected, to feel abandoned, and to feel like they don't amount to anything. Because if I was worth something, they would not have left me. That's what the enemy says to them. The Lord wants to remove that from you. That's not of God. That's what the enemy has placed on you. So would you, I want to lead those of you in a prayer, in those of you here today in a prayer to get that off your shoulders. Would you just signify by raising your hand that, hey, that's me. I feel rejected, abandoned, and alone. Would you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you and with you. All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. All right. So I want you to pray after me. So here's one of the things. And really, this is the most difficult part. You have to forgive those individuals who abandoned you. You have to release them. Okay? So I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but you're going to have to insert the name. Okay? Or names of those individuals. Because I want you to be free. Okay? I don't want you to carry that around with you anymore. And the Lord doesn't want you to carry that around with you anymore, because he promises you he will never leave you or forsake you, but you can't feel him because of this in your heart. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I have rejection and abandonment in my heart. And I can picture the moment that took place. Or maybe there's some of you who have felt that all your life, and you can confess that. Lord, I forgive and name the person or persons. Kind of whisper it. The enemy can't read your mind. Okay? Whisper it. Nobody else needs to know. I forgive this person or these persons for abandoning me and rejecting me. I don't want abandonment and rejection in my heart anymore. Lord, forgive me for rejecting others and for having a fear of rejection. I command the spirits of fear of rejection, and abandonment and fear of abandonment. Go to the feet of Jesus now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, come into my heart. Fill me with your Spirit. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Do you love me? Lord, I receive your love today. Thank you for loving me. Thank you that you will never leave me or forsake me. You will never abandon me or reject me. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. And Lord, I just pray that you would fill all of the empty places in the hearts and lives of these individuals who've prayed for our deliverance. Lord, fill all of these places with your peace, with your joy, with your Spirit. Number five, he is present when you share Jesus with others. In Matthew 28:20, teach these new disciples to obey all my commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It goes on to say, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Teaching them, baptizing them in the name of Jesus. I was asking someone just the other day, do you know about Jesus or do you have a relationship with him? And this person responded, well, I know about him. I go to church. I participate in a lot of church activities, but I do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Before that meeting was over, this person had found a relationship with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I want to ask you the same question. Do you just know about Jesus and doing the religious things? Or do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Jesus said this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. You're familiar, I'm sure, with that picture of Holman Hunt where Jesus is standing on the outside of the door. And he's knocking, wanting to be let in. If you'll notice, there's no latch on the outside of the door. The latch is on the inside. If you'll notice also the weeds that's growing up around the door, this person, whatever door that is, the door of a person's heart, the person has never opened that door before. The hinges are rusty. Weeds are grown up around it. And Jesus is knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. You don't have to see Jesus, but you need to hear him. You need to hear him knocking. And you need to open the door to him. Otherwise, Jesus said, if you will open the door, I'll come in to your home. I will eat with you. I will sup with you and you with me. We're going to have a relationship if you'll open the door. That's what he says. So this morning, You may not see with spiritual goggles the Lord knocking at the door of your heart, but you can feel Him. You can feel Him. You know He's there, and He's saying, would you let me in? Would you let me in? Would you let me in? If you're here this morning without a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you feel Him tugging at your heart, would you just open the door and say, Jesus, come into my life. I want to have a relationship with You. If I have to put away some things in my life in order to have that relationship, I want that relationship with You. Father, I come before You today. And Lord, I thank You for Your word to us. And Lord, I thank You that You're here. We can't see You, but You're here. You're always with us. And God, if there's someone here today that doesn't know You, I pray, God, that they'd hear Your voice. They'd hear You knocking at their heart's door. They would open up and let You in. And Lord, it's very simple, but sometimes it's very difficult. So, Lord, I pray that they would, whoever is in here today that has put shields up around their heart regarding You, that they would let those shields down. Place their trust in You and invite You in. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed still, please.